So this last week, and kind of based on what Raquel and I had been going through with Vincent, it seemed to me that our weaknesses were all of a sudden right in front of us. Because I can't speak so much for Raquel, but for myself, I felt very powerless as far as with anything with Vincent. And this event definitely shook us up, did it not, hon? It really shook us up. And we are so grateful for the prayers of the congregation. And I think, John, you were getting texts too on this, right? You weren't. Okay, somehow I thought you guys were on that. But the point is that I started receiving back all these text messages saying, we're praying for you, we're with you, we're supporting you, what can we do for you, that sort of thing. And it was in that time of weakness that I knew I was in the strength of the Lord. The Lord was covering Raquel and I with his grace, and he was in control. And so when Vinny got put into the facility for a few days, we knew he was safe, but we also knew that we weren't necessarily in control. Doctors are, the therapists are, but the Lord put him there. And so we were grateful for that. But it showed me we needed to stop every once in a while and look and go, does our pride get in the way? Does our ego get in the way? Does the holier than thou get in the way? Does the I am all powerful get in the way? Yeah, I think each one of us can say, yeah, each of those buttons. And oh, there's some other buttons that David hasn't mentioned yet, but I won't bring those up so he doesn't know. But we each have our strengths and weaknesses. And this is really what Psalms 46 is all about, is that you look at the very first verse. Says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's not coming from a position of strength. That's coming from a position of weakness, knowing that something is out of control. It is spiraling. But yet verse 2 says, therefore we should not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. And the psalm goes on to say, here's what God does. It doesn't matter what kind of a disaster we're facing. God is there. It goes to verse 8 and says, come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. And down at the very bottom of the verses, he says, verse 10, he says, cease striving. I know it'll be a little different in this version. It says, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts, our God, Jehovah, Yahweh. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now, when you look at when Psalms is written, they had all the fortresses and all the castles, and it was all desert. The Middle East is not this wonderful valley like here, or where I grew up, the Willamette Valley, or where many of you may have grown up on the East Coast. Lots of lush valleys, rivers and streams. Middle East wasn't like that. But we're going to do a quick walk through the Bible. So, I give you a choice. You can either walk through the Bible with me or pull out your phones. You're going, Dave, that's sacrilege. Pull out your phones, go to the little memo section, and I'm going to give you some verses you can type into your phone. Or if you want a 3x5 card, I will gladly hand out 3x5 cards. But these are some verses that when you start having a rough day, you can go back to them. Okay. So this is one of those times where I know you're looking at your phone, typing stuff in. You're not at Pinterest or some all recipe place, you know, that sort of thing. Here's some verses for you. So we had Psalms 46. But we're talking about weaknesses. There's all kinds of weaknesses in the Bible that are great examples. But let's go to 1 Corinthians. And if you just abbreviate it, it's just C-O-R. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's go to verse 1. Because Paul This is all about Paul. Paul had a definite weakness. He came out of the world of the Pharisees. He was an up-and-coming priest. He was all kinds of things. And so God worked on his pride in a most interesting way. And that's what this one's all about. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Come on, Dave. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it's actually verses 1 through 13. But here's what I want you to see. Go to verse 3. Paul was not this mighty, powerful prophet. And you experienced some of that by looking at verse 3. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Does that sound like public speaking? How many of you have had that problem, public speaking? More than you're willing to admit. But he was not somebody who could just be up front. He was not a Daniel. He was not a Moses. He was not Ezekiel or the rest of the great prophets of the Old Testament. He was fearful. He was trembling. His message and his preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. So he didn't have it, but God blessed him instead in the Spirit, and he was able to move in the Spirit to say, here's what God wants you to know. But there's something else here about Paul, is that God gave him some kind of an affliction, and it's, theologians have looked at what Paul had for a weakness was made him a little bit repulsive to people to look at. He had some problem with his eyes, and they drained all the time. So he's all the time got crud. It's what's the little disease that we adults tend to get from kids? Heartache, plenty of that. Yeah, but pink eye. Think of it, pink eye times 10. So he had this. Now, those of us that have gotten him from little kids, and who knows where the little kids, I love little kids, but they're such germ factories. And so I've gotten pink eye, never as a kid, I always got it as an adult. And so here's all this chunky stuff up in your eyes, and you've got to go see the doctor and all these, get the eye drops and everything. But that's the kind of stuff that Paul had. In his weakness, he could be revulsive to people, but he was also, in his speaking, he was fearful, trembling, you know, that sort of thing. But in his weakness, God told him that God was going to magnify himself through Paul because of his weaknesses. He was able to overcome them. So this chapter 2 right here, it's not very long. It's only 16 verses. It's really significant when it talks about Paul and weaknesses, and then you go, what kind of weaknesses do each one of us have? What do we have? Let's go to the next one. The next one is Psalm 28. Now, you don't have to go to Psalm 28 if you don't want to. But Psalm 28 is the psalmist there is crying out for God's help. And he's giving credit to God. He's giving glory to God because he knows God will help him. So this morning, when we prayed and we said thank you to God for the joys, and when we're done with the sermon, then we're going to do prayers of concern. It's all about weakness. And it's really the important thing that God wants us to remember is we need to have be in an attitude of, not that we're puny weak, but that we are dust. We are a creation of God. Therefore, we're going to get hurt. We have failings. We have pride, joy, and all kinds of other issues that get in the way. And God says, in spite of you, sometimes he goes, okay, in spite of your weakness, we're going to use you. Or sometimes he'll come to me and he'll go, Dave, yes, Dave, in spite of you, I'm going to use you anyway. Because do we not occasionally veer to the left or right because we haven't heard God right? Right? Everybody should be nodding their heads. Don't close your ears. It's the wrong time. Because God will open them up anyway. But God wants to work through us. So the psalmist is all about a prayer for help. Now, let's go to Isaiah. Grab your Bibles, grab the Bibles, and let's go to Isaiah 40. This is a significant chapter within the book of Isaiah. Okay. So Isaiah 40 is a significant chapter. And what this chapter talks about is the greatness of God. It's very similar to the last two or three verses of Job, like Job 38, 39, and 40, where Job and his three buddies have been together now for over a week. And God is talking to Job about who put Leviathan into the sea, who built the universe, who built the mountains, who built the streams, the fishes, the animals, who put people on the earth. It's all these different things. And it's God telling these three friends of Job, plus Job, I did it, you did not. Did you teach me wisdom? Did you teach me knowledge? No, it's the other way around. So this whole chapter right here is all about Isaiah telling the people, look at all the greatness of God. It talks about creation. It talks about what's in there. But if you go to the very end of the chapter, we'll go to verse 28. Again, I've got the New American Standard Version, different from the Bibles there in the pews. Verse 28. Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He's always there for us. He's always present. 29. He gives strength to the weary, those of us that are weak. And are we not weary? We get tired physically. We get tired spiritually. We get tired emotionally. But God's always there to put us back together, to renew us, to refresh us. Verse 30. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. And this one's a song. Verse 31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. You're familiar with that song? Yeah. So this one is, in our weakness, God strengthens us. We have to be willing to acknowledge our weaknesses before God. And then these things, these promises can take place. Let's go to the next one. Philippians. Oh, how I love Philippians. And all of you know that. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's do verses 10 through 20. Who would like to read those? Who would like to read those? Where's the mic at, huh? Thanks. Who'd like to read that one? Volunteers? All right. Thanks, Verlaine. You might have to turn that back on.
I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me indeed, for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, and I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for doing that. Okay, so this is God's provisions. So we've gone from, we need to see what the weaknesses are that we have. We have to admit that to the Lord. You go to Isaiah 40. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. We will rise up as wings as on eagles. And that's what God wants to do. He wants you to acknowledge your position. He wants you to acknowledge who you are. Do that. Acknowledge yourself. And let's do the last one. Let's go to Ephesians. It's just to the left a little bit. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's do chapter 3. Okay, so it's Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. Who'd like to read that one? Who wants to read that? Okay, let me get you the mic, Janice. Thanks, Verlaine. Thank you very much. So in this chapter 3, it's what God gives you abundantly. He just asks a couple of things from each of us. He wants to make himself great in you through your weakness, through my weakness. But he goes, let's do three things. You don't have to write these down. They're just three things to think about. The first one is, God responds to us when we remember to be humble before God. Let's be humble. Let's say, yeah, God. Well, you might want to couch it a little differently, like, Lord. When I was at Pine Cliff one year with the kids, I said, all right, repeat after me. That was a mistake because we were praying. And so I was going, all right, hey, God. And as soon as they heard me say, hey, God, they go, hey, God. And there was about 25 of them. I go, okay, we're going with what we've just done. And so we just went that way. And I left it as much as I could with this 60-plus-year-old brain up here going, I don't remember what it's like to be a teenager anymore or to be a little kid. But I go, I left it where it'd be a little more modern. So everything was, hey, God, that sort of thing. So, but they were being honest, and in their own way, they were being humble. They were just following a crazy old guy in prayer. But be humble. Come before the Lord. You've looked in the mirror. You see yourself there every day, right? Look in the mirror and go, oh, yeah, you've got some issues. Go to God with those issues and say, I need some help, Lord. Humble yourself. Number two, the strength of God rests upon us when we are grateful enough to remember to say thank you to God for his provisions, his strength, and the things he does for us through grace. We've talked a lot about gratitude. Raquel's given a sermon here several months ago about gratitude. I've talked about gratitude. We've had other people talk about gratitude. Gratitude is so important because it overcomes things like roots of bitterness. And the last thing, the strength of God rests upon us when we are determined enough to rejoice in spite of our weaknesses. And that's what Paul did. That's what Paul did in the different verses that we've read so far this morning, is he rejoiced in spite of his problems with his eyes or whatever his other infirmities were, in spite of his fears, in spite of his trembling, in spite of his weak knees knocking, things like that. When it came to public speaking, he was still grateful. He still praised God, and God used him mightily. Because was his ministry to the Jews or was it to the Gentiles? It was to the Gentiles. And he changed the world by what he did, especially up in Mesopotamia, which is now western Turkey. And it spread from there. That's not to diminish what Peter and James and John and the rest did in Jerusalem as far as working with the Jews. But he constantly acknowledged in his writings God. And that's what we need to learn to do also. Thank God. Humble yourself. Rely on God's strength. Your strength will only carry you just so far. Can everybody say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let us do our prayers, our concerns. And we had a lot this morning for concerns. And this is where we rely on God for the strength, for his grace, his abundant power, his abundant provisions. Amen? Amen. Okay. And now you can put away your phones, Pinterest, and all the rest. And let's pray. So here's what I've got for our concerns this morning. We have Keith's mom, Margaret, who had colon surgery. We have friend Paul, right? Whose friend was that? Paul. Okay, best friend, loss of the dog, but it's bitterness in life. Okay. Traveling mercy for different ones that are coming here, overseas or here within the States. We want to pray for Katie over here as far as concerns for cancer reappearing and also for her diabetes. We want to pray for Keith that he adjusts well where he's at in Oklahoma, but that he also comes back safe and sound. And Carrie Rose, right? Pray for her. My nephew Scott down here in the Phoenix area. I don't know what the surgery is for him. Of course, Ev. I want to pray for Ev. Tuesday, a travel day for you guys. Kathy, for you guys. Kelsey's grandmother, who's in the hospital, or rehab, I should say. I take that back, rehab. And, of course, we pray for Rodney. Steve. How's your daughter? How's Brianne doing? Okay. All right. Let's lift her up also for postpartum depression, right? Okay. And we also want to say thank you to the Lord for Vincent being with us on the earth. Okay. So we're going to acknowledge all these, but I'm not going to necessarily pray specifically for each one. Just so you know, I'm not trying to miss anybody here. And let's pray. Let's hold hands, please. Okay. Well, Lord, we acknowledge from our weaknesses that we cannot bring healing to anybody, but yet you can. So, Lord, whether it's the cancers, whether it's unknown surgeries, whether it's just falling down at the advanced age, Lord, we pray for healing for each and every person, their backs, their stomachs, their colons, their hearts, those with diabetes. Lord, we ask for your mercy to be upon each and every one of them. Lord, heal them. You are the great physician. But Lord, we also know that sometimes healing doesn't take place right away. So, Lord, we pray that your will be done in each person. We pray for those of us that support those that are sick and hurt, whether they're physically hurt, they're spiritually hurt, they're mentally hurt. We pray, Lord, that you would guide them, teach them, fill them, give them your compassion, fill them with your joy and with your love. But at the same time, help us, as so easy for people like me, Lord, who is the almighty know-it-all. Help us, Lord, to be full of that compassion and love and concern and joy, and to be that best friend, to be that parent, to be that son and daughter. Lord, we know that you are, in fact, in charge. Whether you're traveling, you're arriving, or you're departing, we pray for traveling mercy upon each and every person. Lord, we are grateful for this church. Sometimes things are scary, Lord. Well, we pray for your blessings to be upon each and every one of us. And Lord, we can't do it without you. Lord, we can't do it without you. We need your spirit. We need your presence and your glory. And we believe you, Lord, and we believe your word. And thank you for giving us the spirit to hear you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.